I want to thank Ken for asking me to be up here. It is a privilege when I get to give the message. Now, today's message does say Babel to Pentecost. Now, that's a long stretch of time, so, you know, we're not going to obviously do that here this morning. That's what the adult Sunday school folks will have to put up with here later. We'll cover all that. But basically, you know, Babel talked about languages, and Pentecost talked about languages. So it's kind of tied in with Bible school this week. And there was the inspiration right there. We had the Tower of Babel show up for us. So that's there. But as always, this is the be-all and end-all, the Holy Scripture. This is the authority. Everything in here is true. Everything in here was inspired by the Holy Spirit through the human authors that wrote it down over approximately a 1,500-year span of time. So in the original, we've talked about this before, but if you remember, in the original autographs, now that's not like taking a baseball to Bowman Field and getting a player to sign it. In a document type of description, an autograph is the original document that was written down and passed along. So when Paul were studying Romans in Bible study, at some point, there was a letter that was written out, inspired by the Holy Spirit through Paul the author, and that original set of whatever that medium was, that was the autograph. Perfect without error. Some today will say, well, we don't have those original things. How do we know this is true? Well, the New Testament is over 98% accurate to those original autographs because it's been copied thousands and thousands of times. Some slight differences might be in a punctuation or a spelling. And in the Old Testament, when the Jewish scribes were writing down scripture, if they made a mistake, they destroyed the whole thing and started all over. So it is extremely true and accurate, unlike skeptics will say. Now, we're celebrating the 4th of July, so I go on bunny trails, okay? Adult Sunday school will know that I see them shaking their heads. But again, I'm trying to tie it all together, and if it doesn't tie it together, that's okay too. But the 4th of July is coming up, and we're celebrating our nation's birthday. Technically, the Second Continental Congress voted 12 yea, 1 abstention on July the 2nd in order to declare independence from Great Britain. But they started signing the actual July 4th Declaration of Independence that you can see down at the National Archives in Washington, D.C. on July 4th. So we celebrated on July 4th. But just to let you know, independence was voted on July 2nd. Does it matter? Of course not. It's a bunny trail. Okay. But the superpower of the day, Great Britain, took on a ragtag bunch of continentals back then under the command of George Washington. A few thousand, if that. I mean, before the Battle of Trenton in December on Christmas, enlistments were going to be running out, but they defeated the British and the Hessians, and some re-upped and kept it going. How in the world could that ragtag bunch defeat the superpower of the day? You know how they did it? Providence. Because the United States, as great as it has become, has led missionaries and resources to spread the gospel among all the nations, through all the languages. So, hopefully I tied it together. But authority. Authority of Scripture. The kids talked about the incredible race. We're all one. That's how God made us. Remember those, your great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, Adam and Eve? You ever hear of them? Well, they started it all. They were the first two. And they begat everyone that's sitting here. Outside these walls, they'll say, fairy tale. But in Romans, in Bible study, pipe up those that are in the class, when did sin and death enter the world? When Adam disobeyed. The world outside these walls says, billions of years, evolution. There was goo, there was an amoeba, there was a fish, there was a weasel. Well, the fish came out of the water. And then there was it transformed into a weasel. Then it swung from the trees as a monkey. And then you. So your great-great-grandparents, according to the world outside these walls, swung in trees as a monkey. Evolution. But how does evolution get to that point, according to the world? Well, you have to have billions of years for all these changes to happen. But while it's happening, what is happening also? Something's dying, and something's taking its place. It's evolving. But what do we learn from the authority of Scripture? When did sin and death enter the world? When Adam disobeyed. So you can't have death before people. Evolution is a lie. It's untruth. It's another one of Satan's ways of trying to, you know, Satan doesn't come out and hit you over the head with a club, does he? He works at you, you know, from behind. When Satan tempted Eve, did he get in her face and yell and scream that spittle's flying? If my wife was sitting here, did God really say that? You can be like gods. That's not true. You know, I don't believe he was screaming and yelling. He was cooing. Ah. He uses lies and deception like evolution. But this tells us God made Adam and Eve, and we are all from that. In 6 days he made everything. Seventh day he rested. I'm a young earth creationist. I believe that everything we have is a little over 6,000 years old. I don't believe in the Big Bang, even though I did like the TV program. But I don't believe that the universe is 14.5 billion years old, the Earth is 4.5 billion years old, and things died to get us to this point. No, things died after Adam disobeyed, after that creation week. So I believe in the authority of Scripture. But sinful man, after that, about 1,600 years later, after Adam and Eve were created, remember a guy named Noah? God judged the world. But he gave them 120 years between the time he told Noah to start that ark until the rain started coming. 120 years. And in that whole 120 years, that righteous man Noah, you know he was getting up on Sunday morning and preaching. In that 120 years, how many came to salvation and got in that ark, and God closed that door at the same time that Noah and his family went in there? How many joined them? Sad, sad. God is so patient. Back in Jesus, we call it the Bible times, 2,000 years ago, they thought he was coming back right then. He still isn't back yet. It's been 2,000 years. God doesn't want anyone to suffer eternal separation from him. He wants everyone to have eternal life. He's giving us time. But we've had the flood, okay? It was barely 100 years after that flood. And what are they doing? They're disobeying. Are we any different? Now, those that have had children, does that little children disobey? Do they say no and stomp their feet and stuff? We're no different. But there was a tower. Okay? Go ahead, Kim. I'll just read it to you. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, and that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. 100 years after the flood, Noah was still alive. Back in the day, because of different situations we don't have the time to talk about, they lived hundreds of years. And that's not impossible, because read it. Methuselah was the oldest, 966, 67. Read it, okay? Assignment this afternoon. Figure out how old Methuselah was. But Noah was alive. All they had to do was go talk to him. But what did they do? They had to make a name for themselves. Pride. Now, sometimes pride's got a little fear behind it. But now you had this unity of folks together. They didn't want to be scattered. They were disobeying God. Do we disobey God? God is love. You'll hear that outside of these walls. God is love. He's not going to do this or that. Oh, he's so mean. Especially that one of the Old Testament. God is unchanging from the Old to the New Testament forever and ever. No different. He's perfect. He's love. Before creation, the perfect love was the Godhead. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son. You got to have a family for love. Just as you have a family with love. So he is love. But he is also righteous, perfect judge, and perfect. So he has to punish disobedience, like he did when Adam disobeyed and they were kicked out of the garden. They tried to stick together, tried to do it on their own, tried to ignore. Again, they could have just ran down the road and talked to Noah. He was around. But no, they had to make a name for themselves. When Lucifer fell from heaven, what was his sin? Pride. Are we any different today? Does anybody really think this thing was going to be built and reach heaven? No. But this was their project. And had they stayed as that unit, as a unity, same language, again, as the kids were learning this week, going to the different continents and learning about the languages and the differences of folks, if they'd have succeeded with this, nothing would have stopped them in their evil. God had to do a remedial judgment, just like he's doing remedial judgments against the nation Israel when they disobeyed and dispersed them. They were told in Deuteronomy by Moses, who wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, you do this, this, and this, you'll get blessings. You do this, this, and this, you're going to be punished. And the Assyrians and the Babylonians were used by God to punish. And then finally, when they rejected God's son, what happened shortly thereafter? They were dispersed among the nations. And look how the Jews have been treated, dispersed amongst the nations. But miraculously in 1948, what happened? The reestablishment of the modern nation of Israel as per prophecy, because they are God's chosen people. And as a community, they stayed together. I defy you to go find me some Babylonians and some Hittites and Canaanites. I don't think you're going to find them in South Avis or up in Lock Haven. But you will find the chosen people in the nation Israel. So God scattered them, confused their language so they couldn't work together. There was a remedial judgment. Now, tied in with the learning of the languages and things that the kids did in Bible school, we're all one. Now, it was an incredible race. When we use the word race, we kind of sometimes get a thought in our head, you know, the different races of human. We're all one from Adam and Eve. We just have a different level of pigment in our skin, maybe a little less, maybe a little more. Thought I brought it up with me. That's okay. We have crayons.
Crayons are better.
Is that all kinds of colors? Okay, let me grab a few. I'll just grab a couple. I've got a brown one. Crayola. Made in Easton, Pennsylvania. I got a white one. Crayola. Made in Easton, Pennsylvania. Both Crayolas. Both made in Easton, PA. They just reflect the light a little bit different so that we see the color. But they're all Crayolas, aren't they? So you are no different than somebody that has a little bit darker skin color. But the world, the fallen, sinful world, uses those things to discriminate and prejudice and hurt people. But we have Babel. So we have all these languages. So Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Some will say, and I don't agree with this exact terminology, that Pentecost was a reversal of Babel. In Babel, you had one language, okay, and then God's remedial judgment confused them, and now you have all these different languages, so they couldn't cooperate and work together. At Pentecost, you had all these languages, but was it reversed? Did God reverse Babel, and now everybody's talking the same language now at Pentecost? I don't think so. There's English. Go to France, they speak French, so we still have languages. Because God is using that diversity to spread the gospel to all the languages. Now, we get into Pentecost and we get into, you know, that controversial thing with tongues and all that. It's real simple. Wherever I put it, thank you. Authority of Scripture. Tongues is just languages. It's not gibberish. You cannot watch a YouTube video and be taught how to speak in tongues. You cannot watch a YouTube video or go to a seminar and learn how to heal. Back in those days, the apostles had the apostolic gifts, speaking in tongues or other languages, healing. Jesus, what did he do in our reading earlier? What did Jesus do with the widow? Yeah. The apostles could do that too. And you know who gave them that power? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit gives that gift, And he might not give it all the time. Paul couldn't heal himself, but sometimes he could heal. Sometimes they could talk in other languages. Sometimes they couldn't. I personally am of the belief the apostolic gifts are no longer today. I'm not dogmatic about it. If you believe they are, fine. All I can say is, can you imagine when you're witnessing back in that day and you raise somebody from the dead and talk in their language, those Galileans? How could those uneducated Galileans talk in my language if you read the scripture? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what a witnessing tool that was? Raising people from the dead and talking in their language. They spoke it and they heard it. A miracle of Holy Spirit. His power. Witnessing tool. What do we have today to witness with? The whole canon of Scripture. We couldn't run down to Barnes & Noble back 2,000 years ago and get one of these and stand on the street corner. We have it today. That's why I think those gifts are now here. But that's okay if you think otherwise. Again, I'm not dogmatic about it. What I am dogmatic about it is seeing this nonsense that you can see and read on YouTube or the internet or stuff like that, because influences, Satan and otherwise, outside of these walls are using Scripture and twisting it. Those of us that went to the Bible Museum here in the trip when we did, when was that? I don't know. February. Did any of you that went get a chance to go down and see the slave Bible down on the ground floor? Those despicable types that were back there that believed that was God's will to enslave people because they had a little bit more pigment in their skin. They plucked out whole books of the Bible and verses and passed it off as the complete scripture to make their point in order to subjugate folks. But languages. Pentecost is not reversing Babel. We still have languages. Because missionaries are going out and they're learning languages. God is using a rebellion and using the consequences of it for his purposes to spread the good news throughout the world in those other languages. There was I want to read this. It says it way better than I could. Instead of people climbing up to God, I was pointing at the Tower of Babel. Instead of people climbing up to God, we testify that God came down to us. Pentecost. Not in judgment, but for salvation. Judgment at the Tower of Babel, confusing languages. Pentecost, not a reversal, the languages are still here, but to witness the good news for salvation. Instead of people gathering in one location, they were told to be fruitful and multiply and spread throughout the earth. Their pride kept them there. They wanted to make a name for themselves. Instead of people gathering in one location to make their own name great, we are now scattering all over the earth to make God's name great. Instead of language being a barrier to man's mission of self-glorification, languages are now redeemed in order for the triune God's mission of glorifying himself to move forward. So if you or a family member or a friend don't know the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, invite them here. Invite them to adult Sunday school. Give them a copy. Right back there where I was pointing, there's copies. They were bought for the kids and passed out at Vacation Bible School. Take one. Leave it on the kitchen table at work. I know that's an issue in today's world. But you can slip it on that table, maybe when nobody's looking. But you have to do what you think is best, obviously, for your personal situation. And sometimes that's not the best way to go about it. But maybe it can be left on a curb or on a car at Walmart or whatever. But the bottom line is, if you do not have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity in the lake of fire permanently separated from God, and we don't want that to happen to anyone. That personal relationship with God and that belief in His Son in your heart of hearts, if you truly do, will guarantee you eternal life.